Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We have McKeon, known as Mr. Funny Man, back at CBS Sports Radio, along with Graceffo, Darwin Zook, man. We get the A-team for the final 2 hours. Incredible, huge opinions and conversation in the first 120 minutes. We talked about the DJ Durkin story at Maryland. He's on paid administrative leave, had a player die. Heat stroke-related complications. Now allegations of a culture where the players are just being pushed to the edge. And it made me come up with this huge question of the night, one of them. What's the new line in the sand for you as a parent watching people coach your kids? Players, anybody who's playing high school, college, pro, or did play, not what it was like back in the day. I'm talking now, 2018. What is a line coaches can't cross? They can walk up to it, but they can't cross it. And as parents, you tell a coach, you can't go past here. You can voice your huge opinions at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. I also praised Randy Moss, not for his tie, but for how he delivered his message about social injustice in America after his induction speech in Canton, Ohio, to the NFL Hall of Fame last weekend. And he talked on the NFL Network after his speech, why he did it, the 13 names on the tie for victims of law enforcement killings. There are a few bad cops in America, but I'm telling you, the massive majority are there to serve and protect people of all skin colors, all religions, all income levels. It would be a living hell if we didn't have law enforcement protecting us. It would. So, even though I disagree with him wearing the tie at the induction ceremony, I respect that he didn't disrupt anything, so his message was heard loud and clear. And when we look at the NFL preseason starting in full force this weekend and Thursday night, and you get protests and you got debates and police are urged to not support the Dolphins after protests, that's a headline at CBSSports.com. Hey, anybody in the NFL, you don't need to protest because we don't know what you're protesting. Oh, I know you'll say, well, look at this and here. No. Let the player tell me after the game with the mics on why he is upset with this country. He didn't disrupt the anthem. He didn't disrupt the game. And he delivered his First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, about what he's upset with. And if the team's upset with what he said after that, they can deal with that privately because he works for that team. And I believe if you heard those players talk about a family that lost a son or talk about somebody who was pulled over based on the color of their skin and talked about that situation, calm, cool, and collected, just like Randy Moss did, then your voice will be heard. Through all this rhetoric with the anthem protest, I've Malcolm Jenkins, you know, Chris Long, had Anquan Boldin, there's been a few players. What's your message? But man, if you talked after practice, if you talked after games, people would listen. They'd see it on Twitter, they'd see it on Facebook, they'd see it online, be on TV. It would have an impact that could help change America for the better. You agree or disagree, that's a solution here for the anthem. Owners can say, you know, when the press is in there, say what you want to. As long as you're not inciting violence, we're fine with you expressing your opinions. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Trey in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on 105.3 of the Metroplex. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Trey.
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about, you know, the line with the Durkin case. I'm a father, played every sport in high school, and I was even lucky enough to get to play college football. But as a father, I feel like the line now is – I'll keep it in terms of football because we're talking about Durkin, but the other team lines up against us. They're beating us 54-0. I'm fine with them leaving their starters in the whole game, playing. You don't get a participation trophy just because you're out there. If they're better than you and they beat you, then work harder. When it comes to coaching, I believe that if they motivate my kid, they can yell at my kid. They can even cuss, tell him get his, you know what, in gear, or what the heck are you thinking, or, you know, I don't mind that. But when it comes to, like, a personal name calling, like if he calls him a P or a B, that's kind of where I draw the line as a parent with my kid. I'm not going to let you talk to my kid like that, and I would hope that my kid's not going to take that from you, and you need to respect him as a man, and that's unacceptable.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate you listening in Fort Worth, Texas at 105.3. I'm a father of five. I currently have three younger kids who play sports. My line, what I tell coaches, you can raise your voice. I don't care if you drop occasional profanity. You cannot belittle them based on how they look. You can't embarrass them, and you can't touch them in a physical, forceful manner. That's simple. There's my line as a parent. My kids are going on, what, 11, 12, and 13. You can join us 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Don in Miami, thanks for hanging around. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good Saturday night. Okay, I have a question before I go where I'm going to go here. How is kneeling for the anthem on the sideline disrupting the national anthem?
What are you kneeling for, though? Okay.
Wait, you didn't answer my question.
If the NBA requires players to stand, and that's the respectful way to do it, or you take off your hat if you're in the stands as a fan and you stand, I think kneeling is defined in the NFL now as a protest. Don't talk about the military. When someone's hurt, they take a knee in sports. I'm talking about kneeling right now in the NFL is defined as protesting.
Okay, now let me give you my take on this real quick. I respect the flag, and I will always stand for the flag, okay? And I think everybody else should too. But at the same time, I served in the military, and we have young men and women that have died all over the world fighting for our country, and the number one thing they fought for is our freedom. And our freedom is free speech and the right to protest. And we're going to tell people now that they can't protest or have free speech, and you said it's a protest. It's a peaceful protest, that they can't do that. That's wrong.
Don, where do you work today? And I appreciate you serving in the military. Where do you work today?
Today I work for AT&T.
All right, AT&T, a big global empire, multi, you know, DirecTV, mobile phones, everything, U-verse. Are you allowed to bring your political beliefs and protest on the job without repercussion?
Well, that's a good question, because it really doesn't happen. Everybody kind of leaves that out of work. But at the same time, I'm a union member, and we do go to the work sites and promote particular politicians and particular goals on the work site, at the work site, and AT&T doesn't make an attempt to stop us, whether they agree or disagree.
That's different, though. There's
the union,
you know, union protection and what you're allowed to do. And Don, I do appreciate the call in Miami, but it was interesting, Don, when I asked you if you could do that working for AT&T, you kind of paused. No one's denying any player's First Amendment rights. In my workplace, in most of your workplaces, your politics cannot be brought in every day to work without you eventually losing your job. It just can't. I don't care color your skin. I don't care what your job is. It just can't happen. And a lawyer, you know, getting ready to, you know, someone's arguing over real estate zoning. Lawyer can't say, I'm going to take a knee right now. No, can't do that. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Let's go to Will in Illinois. You're on the Saturday Night Healed Show.
And what you love to do, and
hey, Will.
I do appreciate you calling Miami.
I'm listening to myself. I sound good. We lost Will. Remember, turn down your radio when you call in. Zach in Michigan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing today, dude?
Doing good, Zach. What's on your mind?
No, I'll talk about both real fast. First, I agree with protests. You should be able to take a knee, but I also agree with the business and being able to tell the players whether or not they can or not take a knee to protect the business. If you're losing money, then that's the business. They deserve, you know, whatever they want. But as for how far to take it, the story coming out of Maryland is awful. I was a football player. I played high school football in Florida, and I coach varsity football now, and I'm a strength and conditioning coach here up in Houghton Lake, Michigan. First off, it's hard. When I played in Florida, we played on a turf field, and in the middle of summertime doing summer training, we would take out the thermometer that they had in the school, like a big, you know, big clock thermometer. You put it down on the field, and that field would register at 115 degrees on a hot day, 120 degrees, like right, you know, 3 feet off that field. So the heat stroke, that's tough. You know, you don't know if it's like your least athletic kid in high school. I mean, in college, they're all athletic, so obviously he must have done something to provoke that. And the story's coming out of there. Obviously, they're pushing their guys too hard. I'm a strength and conditioning coach. I push my kids real hard. As a parent, or I'm a brother to a kid who plays football, and I agreed with their one caller. You never want to belittle a kid. You don't call them the B word. You don't call them the P word. If they're messing around or they're being hooligans or something like that, you can maybe drop a profanity here and there just to get them in line. My rule personally for conditioning kids is always, you know, sometimes you're going to get the fat kids that are going to throw up. Sometimes you're going to get the people who are hurting from conditioning. If you have 2-3 kids that are throwing up and they need to take a break and they need to go off to the side because it's the beginning of the year, that's going to happen. You're going to have those kids. You should never, as a parent, allow coaches to belittle your kids or to call them any words or anything like that. And the worst thing that I've ever seen come out of me personally was when I saw a helmet-to-helmet on an own player, and this was when I was coaching the 8th-grade team, and I took the kid from the helmet, and I threw him down, and that was the worst I've ever felt. I would never put my hands on a kid again. That was when he was in 8th grade, and I was just coming out of high school coaching. So I think that's where you'd probably draw the line. I don't think you should ever touch a kid or ever put your hands on a kid, even if he hurts another kid, and you should definitely never belittle a kid or anything like that. But pushing the kids, 1 or 2 kids throwing up, 3 kids throwing up, that's going to happen. But you should never really, you know, over-push. If one of your athletes is getting sick because you're pushing them too hard, it's just too much. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Zach. The high school strength and conditioning coach in Northern Michigan, listening there in Houghton Lake. If you want to join us with your huge opinions, our huge questions of the night, what is the line for you as a coach, as a parent, for coaches today in 2018 that you won't let them cross if they're coaching your kids, or you can't cross as a coach or you lose your job, or you as a player, if that coach crosses that, you're done. It's a different world in 2018. Your feedback at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Also, our second question, Randy Moss waited until after his induction speech into the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame to talk about why he wore that tie about social injustice. I loved that he waited until after, and then his voice was heard on the NFL Network and all around the world. And I think the current protests could move from the anthem to after games, and their voices would be much louder. How do you feel? 1-855-212-4CBS. Callers online, stick around. North America will hear you next.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. McKeon and Graceffo are back at CBS Sports Radio, New York City. Zook will have an update here in about 7 minutes. Huge questions of the night with a DJ Durkin story, allegations of a culture that would push kids to the edge. Durkin now on paid administrative leave, his job being investigated in terms of leadership and culture. He could lose it. He could keep it. Who knows? Rush to judgment shouldn't be about allegations. You need the facts. So the question is, in 2018, what's the line for a parent when it comes to somebody coaching your kids? What's the line for a player at any level? And what's the line for a coach in 2018 that you cannot cross? 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Let's go to Alan in Houston listening on AM 610. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Thank you very much. I'm also a black man in America. I hate to, like you said earlier, we shouldn't worry about color as much, so I hate to define that. And I love this country, and definitely like the other caller said, I would never disrespect this country, and I think the players should stand. However, the however is, they definitely have that right to. And I like the other caller, I don't see how that disrupts the anthem. If we're all supposed to be looking at the flag with a hand on our heart, why are we looking at the other players? Because to me, my patriotism belongs to me. And I share it with my family and my friends. But what some other folks think about it, that doesn't affect how I feel about the country. It doesn't diminish what I feel. You know, you said, make America great again. I never thought America stopped being great. And our potential and the opportunities for greatness lies in every individual. To me, when we focus on the individual, we can see, hey, all the cops are bad. We know that. Most 90% of the cops we know do their job. Protect us for their families, make a living. But again, not all the players are kneeling. And why do we misfactor? There are whole teams that don't do anything. Like when they said Philly kneeled and they didn't. There are whole teams that didn't. And now that it is a form of protest, it is getting the message out. Some people say, like you say, you don't know why they're doing it. Some of us know why they're doing it. Again, I don't agree with the method always. But if it's getting people talking about it, speaking about it, and people really listening, because, again, it doesn't have anything to do with Trump, contrary to what you said earlier. I do believe that a lot of people are suffering from this Trump syndrome. But when it comes to sports, that's something that brings us together. And I know that some people might feel that brings us apart with them kneeling. That's their opinion, and that's them. That doesn't affect how I feel. And I don't understand how we can been on some things and you know, just dog the whole NFL, and at the same token, we can support all the cops where we're never bad cops, and we know that some of those good cops are complicit because, and again, like you said, maybe it's not as prevalent as some people make it. Maybe not for you, but for us it is. For me it is. I've had many examples of being stopped because of what I perceived as after the description or because I look threatening. I'm a very big guy. So I understand that. But, again, I think that we live in a country where people have a right to protest. And if you can respect their right, they're not yelling. They're not screaming. They are standing silent. We're all standing silent, showing our reverence to the country. And just because I think that one part of the country is bad doesn't mean that I think I'm going to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater.
Amen.
So we can all... Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
No, I said amen. I agree with you, Alex. I appreciate your opinion.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, have a great night in Houston, listening on AM 610. Yeah, I hear you, Alex. I hear everybody. You know, the point is about the silent protest, though. We don't need silence. We don't need words. We need actions. That's it. I love what Randy Moss did, and that's my, I think the NFL, you create division. Don't say conversation, you create. I love how they say, well, his silent protest, Kaepernick created conversation. No, conversation is letting people know exactly what you're upset with, where change is needed, and let's all work together. Let's go to Sean in Toronto, Canada, listening on AM 590. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Thank you very much. Just a quick comment on kind of this protest thing. And, I mean, I don't know if I'm ignorant about it or maybe I just don't know enough about it, but I'm okay with protesting. What I'm not okay with is why wouldn't they have just gone to the NFL and prior to doing it and saying, hey, this is important. We want to do this. What's your opinion? Maybe how can you help us with this movement? And then if it was not successful, that's what the CBA negotiations are there for. Include it in there if it's that important to you. And then on the other side of the coin, I don't understand. I understand why they're protesting. I understand that there's definitely some injustice, or not some, a lot of injustice. But when you do a protest and you have a movement like this, there should be clear and measurable goals as to when you will stop protesting because this is what we want. And I don't think that message is clear. Maybe because we're in Canada, we don't hear it very often, but I don't know what the end game is. Is it a meeting with the president? Is it a funding? Is it, you know, a meeting with all of the police divisions across a certain, you know, city or town? What is the goal? What is the end game? And then does everyone even understand that? And I think if I'm confused about it over here, I'm sure a lot of other people are confused. And then everyone just kind of gets lost in the hoopla of the TV moment.
Hoopla.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Sean in Toronto, listening on AM590, one of Canada's great sports radio stations. Hoopla. You just said that word, Sean. Like I said at the start of this broadcast, with the continued anthem debates, there's no message. You don't know what, okay, Kaepernick, people forget the pig socks and that the blood stand or the flag stands for blood on all streets in America. You can't label broad brushes country or law enforcement. No. Well, let's go to, in all of this rhetoric, have you seen any of these NFL players show up and protest silently, off season, they're off days, and go to these areas where change is needed? Because America's issues aren't just law enforcement. The racial side of America needs some strengthening. But I think the violence in this country, I think the safety of our children, our neighborhoods, inner city, suburbs, all across the board, that needs to be a priority. Our children should be able to walk the streets, go down a couple of blocks to the playground and not worried about being abducted, shot, beat up, or robbed. That's it. Our children should be able to, you know, doors should be able to, you know, the screen door stays open. And it might be a fantasy world now, but I believe all Americans deserve the right to be protected, to have their schools up to date, to have fresh water, to have a chance to live the American dream. But you start with the kids and you protect our streets. And the NFL has the power and the money to go anywhere in this country and help bring change. But disrupting the national anthem is doing nothing but dividing America. What Randy Moss did in explaining himself and why he wore that tie after his induction ceremony is the process that could bring change. And the NFL players who currently protest should follow the lead of a Hall of Famer by the name of Randy Moss, who has matured immensely from when he went to Notre Dame. Remember that? You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are live across North America each and every Saturday night. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine. Graceffo, McKeon, and Zook back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. A lot of conversation about DJ Durkin, Maryland's head football coach, on paid administrative leave, investigation into a culture that reportedly was pushing kids to the edge, players. Motivation, trying to shape them. What you've had is a lot of strength and conditioning coaches and assistants have become the drill sergeants in a football boot camp during the off season to get those players mentally and physically ready to play. Well, there's a difference between joining the military and also playing college football. It's also 2018. It's a much more sensitive America. So I threw out the question, what is the line for you as a parent for coaches, no matter what the sport is, and coaching your kids? A line that if they cross that, you'll talk to them. You might pull your kids out of that sport, maybe demand that that coach doesn't coach them. Also, for players, anybody who has played, what's that line today? I'm talking 2018, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago when you were growing up. And also for coaches today, where are you coaching differently because you know this is the line in 2018? You can join in at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. I also delivered a huge opinion in regards to Randy Moss wearing that tie during his NFL Hall of Fame induction speech. Afterwards, on the NFL Network, he explained why he wore it. And I thought, you know what? I heard his words. I listened to him, his tone, why he did it for those 13 families, victims of law enforcement activity. And I respect it. And it made me think, hey, I don't agree with wearing the tie at the Hall of Fame induction speech. I'm a big supporter of the great men and women who follow the law, working in law enforcement, just like I am with the military. But the NFL players could learn something from Randy Moss. Do it after the game. Don't disrupt the anthem. You're doing nothing, accomplishing zero by disrupting the anthem. But man, if you talked after the game, people would hear your voice. Because you would talk about specific issues and change that's needed in America. And dialogue and communication is the first step towards bringing true change. And that would be true change. Say that fast at about 1 o'clock in the morning. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. The NFL needs this anthem thing to end. They need it to end now. And I know a couple weeks ago when I was doing the show from 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, we talked about what's a solution to end it. Now after watching Randy Moss and doing it after the speech, not disrupting anything, loud and clear, that's what you do. Keep it away from the anthem. I think if you spoke after the game, Trump wouldn't say a word. Nothing. So now this is Trump versus the players. That's all it is. And the players versus Trump. Nothing more than that. At least the latest round of protesting. Let's go to Will in Illinois. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Will.
Cool. Awesome. So I have some thoughts about where to draw the line in terms of behavior by coaches and sports representatives and that sort of thing. The place that I would draw that line is that I would expect from coaches the exact same behavior that I'd expect from teachers in classrooms, that I'd expect your boss to treat you the exact same way I'd expect your boss to treat you and for you to treat your subordinates in your own job. And wherever you might decide to draw those lines of what's appropriate behavior in your workplace and what's appropriate behavior in your children's school, that's a great place to draw the line for what's appropriate for coaches on sports teams. What do you think about that?
Well, thank you, Will, and I appreciate your opinion in Illinois. The difference, some will say, in a workplace, so I work at a radio station, right? I do a statewide show in Michigan in the afternoons, Monday through Friday. A boss may, you know, have limits on motivation, but then to go play a sport, is there more emotion required connecting to motivating you, whether you're a 12-year-old kid or a 22-year-old young man, or even a 35-year-old NFL player. That's the fine line here that I'm talking about. You know, I've always said in doing sports radio that my producers and working with me can be intense. And I've been told by bosses, hey, man, you got to back off. It's different today, you know, where I don't attack them personally. Sometimes, you know, when I've done this 26 years, early on, it was tough. But also I watch these producers become really good at what they do because I push them. Don't attack them personally. I don't physically grab anybody. But man, I demand effort. Not perfection, but those working with me, helping bring a show to life, I demand effort. Everything can't be perfect. And it's tough. And I will not accept mediocrity. If we're all giving it our best and the show just stinks that day, then I can live with it because I knew we did everything we could. You know, the things you can't control, you know, storm hits, electricity goes out, equipment, computers go haywire. I don't get upset. If I know the people working with me on my show are given the best they can bring to the table, then that's a great show to me, no matter how good it sounded on air. So I even, as a father, you know, you're a coach. I'm not just talking sports, I'm talking life. As a dad, I look at my children, and if they gave the effort, I don't care what their team does, I don't care what their stats are, I really don't. When I see that they gave an effort, and that effort could be in sports, that effort could be in school. You know, I don't line up because one kid does better in math and the other kid does better in science and the other kid better than in PE. I don't line them up against each other. If I know that I'll talk to their teachers at the conferences. If they're applying themselves, then it's good. It's fine. I wasn't good in science. I was really good in writing and, you know, debating people. You know, I love to read. I love current events. So I thank you in coaching, and sometimes my kids, not literally, but they need a kick in the butt. The tone needs to go up, and it usually comes to repeating myself after one time, after two times, after three times. You know, kids aren't adults. They're not your friends. Just like a coach, you're there to get the best out of somebody, and how do you do that? And I think it's different to be a coach than it is to be a boss or even a teacher. Sports requires a coach to get something out of you that you didn't know you had. And I know you could say a teacher would do that, like they're going to challenge you to write, or you're doing a report, or you're doing something. I get that. There are teachers who do that. But I think in sports, when they get something out of you that you didn't know you had, forget the final score of a game. Forget a conference championship in high school. Forget all league. If that coach made you better, chances are what that coach did to make you better in that sport helped you in school, helped you socially, helped you with confidence, and probably is something you carried with you the rest of your life. No matter what the sport. Had nothing to do with how good your team was, how big your school was. Could have been a small rural school in Iowa. Could have been a big city school in a suburb of Chicago. But to get there, there is that boot camp. And not pushing people to the point where they're going to drop dead. But there's a reason, and I've said this to some guys I know who coach. There's a reason that the drill sergeants in boot camp aren't there with you in battle. They're there for the 8, 12 weeks, whatever it is, to really shape you, mold you, and motivate you, if I can steal the military phrase, to be the best you can be. Because eventually, you'll tune that out. If that was the military, what boot camp was like with a drill sergeant, and you had to hear that every day, you would not listen. You would not listen. But for 8, 10, 12 weeks, maybe even training for 6 months. And if you watch what the Navy, if you've seen some of those documentaries, what they go through, it is more about putting you to the edge, seeing if you will, ring the bell? And that's why, again, I've never been to war, but I'm guessing why drill sergeants aren't there on the front line. Because now you need camaraderie, you need someone to have in your back, you need an emotional moment, and I liken that to a team. And what's happened here with strength and conditioning coaches is that it's become boot camp during the off season. At the college level, even at the high school level, as a caller earlier from Michigan said, that they are there just to whip that team into shape to get them ready for that upcoming season. And that strength and conditioning coach probably not a lot of boundaries, maybe more at the high school level than the college level, because you're inside, let's say, you know, indoor facility at Michigan or Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson or South Carolina. A lot of people aren't watching. It's you and the players. Media's not watching. It's off-season workouts at 6 a.m. at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. And that strength and conditioning coach is probably somebody who is going to ride you, push you, motivate you, try and take you to places you have never been, but at the same time, you'll probably grow to respect that man or woman if it's a female sport. That's it. And now with iPhones and camera phones and recordings and Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and everything you have and 9,000 cable and satellite channels, you do not have that freedom to push people to get the most out of them. Because you had Will right there in Illinois say, well, I expect a coach to do what a teacher would do, what somebody would do in the workplace. I don't know if that gets the most out of you. I think the best bosses I've ever had are bosses who have pushed me to a point where I didn't want to work for him, but then I knew, you know what? He's trying to get the most out of me. And even bosses where you've had some really good arguments with, but after that argument, you still respected each other and you move forward on what needed to get done. So in sports, pushing is required. What is that line? And that's a question we're throwing out. You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Next hour, we'll continue with feedback and huge opinions from across North America. We'll talk about the 100th PGA Championship in St. Louis. How many people are with me that if the NFL players told us what they're upset about after games, that it would have more of an impact than protesting silently during the anthem? Talk about it live right now, 1-855-212-4CBS, at Saturday Huge on Twitter, and the Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.